Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
So today we're going to look at still the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we're going to look at the vision. And we're going to look at our foundational scripture, John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Okay. It says that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but He dwells in you. Remember, He's a person because He has a mind, a will, and emotions. And that's what He's trying to do. He's trying to line your mind and your will and your emotions up with God's. And that's the goal of the Holy Spirit in us. God is about vision. Everything God did was always through vision. And vision begins on the inside of you. Vision is not what you see with your eyes. You see it from within. Remember, you literally see with your soul. Remember, you don't see with your eye. Your eye is just a organ that helps you to connect to the physical world. If you get your eye plucked out and everything works right and everything's in order, you can get somebody else's eye and see with it. You see? Because you literally see with your soul. Jesus said the eye is the window of the soul. That's what vision does. It governs our soul. Remember in Matthew 6:22, Jesus said that The eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. The word eye means vision. So if your vision is good, the word good means clear and single, your whole body will be full of light. So that's the idea. We have to have a vision that's clear and single. It fills us with light so we can see the way to go. And it works individually and it works corporately. That's why we need to keep being reminded of the vision. Because when you see that, it's going to help govern your soul. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And some translations say, where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, the word perish means lack of discipline and lack of self-control. So where there's no vision, there's a lack of self-discipline and a lack of self-control. Or where there's no revelation, the word revelation and vision are synonymous. So where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. Anything goes. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them who love Him, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. See, He reveals revelation by the Holy Spirit. See, is in us to show us what our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, and haven't entered our heart yet, what He has for us. The Holy Spirit is in you, revealing it to you. And as the Word comes forth, revelation, you get it. Ah, you see now. Well, do you see something right? No, you see it. Revelation and vision, this is what it means. Synonymous, same word. It means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. And it also means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. Redemptive means it's purchasing back what was lost and stolen. The areas of your life. So when you see, you get revelation, God's purchasing that back to be connected to His plan and His purpose. That's what the Holy Spirit is always doing in us. So when we have vision, it brings restraints inside of us. For it governs our soul. And that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. The word see means understand. You see, when you're born of the Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is in you and He's bringing understanding to this kingdom. That's vision. And if we have no vision, anything goes. We'll go, we'll hang out anywhere, we'll do, we'll eat anything, we'll, you know, there's just no restraints. That's why I like that image of the dog race. And back in 1969, I believe it was, and they raced these dogs in Florida, these greyhound dogs. And they put this rabbit on a pole, and it goes around, and the dogs chase the rabbit. Well, it was coming around, and it got halfway around, and the rabbit blew up. They had a technical problem. And all the dogs that were in the race, some of them fell asleep, laid down and fell asleep on the track. This is a true story. And some of them ran through the bleachers and broke their legs. Some of them started barking at all the people in the stands. You know what? That is a picture of a vision lost. See, we'll get lazy when we're not vision, when we don't have a vision. And we'll get wounded and hurt. We end up in places that hurt us and wound us. And then we start complaining about everything around us. Barking. You see this? But you see, if you have vision and focus, you're going to finish the race. You're going to finish the race, and you know what? You're going to win. But without vision, we can't do that. And this church has a vision, and we're going somewhere. So now let's look at this. To build a people. Where did that come from? In Ezekiel chapter 13, it talks about prophets were building buildings with untempered mortar, and the walls were untempered. The material they were using was untempered. The word untempered means not tested. It hadn't been tested. The idea is, it says, when the storms came, the hailstorms and all the storms came, that it exposed the foundations were laid open. When I got this vision, the Lord showed me that people need to build their lives on something that's been tested. The Bible says in Psalms that the Word of God is tested. When we build our lives on God's Word, doesn't mean we're not going to have storms. Because storms are going to come. They're happening. They're going to be on everybody. It falls on the just and the unjust. And Jesus said, he who hears these words of mine and does them, I would liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. For when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You see, he's talking about building your life. And so the idea is, when we will build our lives on what God says, we'll face storms, but we're going to know how to react to them. We're going to know how to respond to them. And we're going to keep standing. And we're going to keep moving in the right direction. See, a lot of people think because you do it right and it's going to eliminate all the problems and all the storms. Well, if I'm living according to God's will, I'm not going to have all the problems. It's not that way. But it strengthens you to stand. So that's what we're about here, is building people. We've got classes on Wednesday night. We've got Bible teaching on Wednesday night. We've got membership classes. We've got home groups. You know, maybe you don't feel real connected. Get connected in a home group. This is the way you grow. Remember we talked about those patterns of iniquity? See, that's what this does. That's what vision does. When you have vision, it gets rid of those patterns when you stay focused. Because you get connected, you're in a place, you're in the body of Christ, you see? And you get connected, those patterns start to get broken. That's the only way they're going to get broken. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it going from church to church to church. You got to get connected, because you're not made or created to go bounce from one place to the next, always going from here and there, there's no real commitment. See, if you don't demonstrate commitment, you're letting other people down, because people are watching you and needing you. They need somebody to lean on and depend on, and that's what the church is. Go with me quickly to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him, who? Jesus. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being what? Built. Built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, he says, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. You see, that's what we are. A lot of us have been rejected in life. It may be a rejection from your father. It may be rejection from your mother. It may be rejection from your children. They don't want to have nothing to do with you anymore. It may be rejection from your job. Your boss has rejected you, or your position. Maybe you got fired. Or you know what? It may be business rejection. No, people no longer want to do business with you. That's a form of rejection. Everybody is going to experience rejection. But now listen, that rejection qualifies you for a living stone in the house of God, to be built up, to offer up sacrifices. Sacrifice is something you don't want to give up. It don't feel good, but you do it anyways, and now you're being built. Now I'm being built for the purpose I was created for. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. No matter what, how you've been rejected, when you get connected in the body, that's where you're built up. Now, stay with me. Look at this. Behold, I lay at Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him, Jesus, will by no means be put to shame. I'm telling you, when you put your faith and trust in him, it's not going to bring shame in your life. It's going to bring wholeness. It's going to bring health. It's going to promote health and well-being. Now watch this. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But now catch this. But to those who are what? Disobedient. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble being what? To the what? Which they also were appointed. Everybody's appointed to the word. We're all to be lining everything up with the word. You see, that's why that vision on the wall is so strong and healthy. We are all, but who, the ones that are disobedient, they stumble and Jesus becomes a rock of offense. In other words, they get hurt. They get hurt in church. They get hurt in church and then they blame, then they want to go from place to place because they're hurt all the time. They'll act like they're not hurt. They're praising God and they look happy, but they're hurt. They don't want to get connected anywhere because they're afraid of getting hurt again. And really, they're hurting people because they're going all around. They don't want to get connected anywhere. That's anti-Christ. But they act like they're all obedient to the world. They're carrying the Bible. They look. They talk the talk. If you are established in God's word, you're advancing God's kingdom. You know why they get offended? See, when you really have the love of God flowing through you, you're not going to be offended. Because the love of God protects you. You forgive right now. Right now, you forgive. 1 John 2:5. But whoever keeps my word, truly what? Truly the love of God is being perfected in him. It all goes back to his word. And the word protects you. You see that? It protects you from offense. It goes back to obeying his word. Now, catch this. This is what we're doing. We're building people. Now, established. Remember that word established is the word dynasty, a monument to be remembered. In other words, remember I told you my grandmother. You know, I think about my grandmother in my heart. It's like there's a monument in there. I can be having a bad day and think about her. Well, she's like a dynasty within me because she was established in God's word. And so that's what we as people of God will be to our grandchildren and our children. When they think about us, they were established in the word. See, there's a lasting legacy. Well, that's how I'm going to live. You see, that's what it's a spiritual house. Can you see it with your physical eyes? No, but it's a spiritual house. Am I making sense? See, that's vision. Can you see it? Can you see the chicken and the egg? No, but you know it's in there, right? See, that's the way it is. That's how it is. It's going to come. It's going to manifest. That's the idea. Now get a hold of this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the what? Household of God. Having been built on the what? Foundation of the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. We just read that over in 1 Peter. Now, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's talking about the people. Verse 22, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the what? Spirit. You see that? That's what it's in the Spirit. So we're coming together. This is a dwelling place of God here. And we're all being built. We're being built up. And so as we come together, we're making a place for others to come. It's not about us, is it? But as we're being built together, we're building a place for others to come. It's not about this building. You know, I had someone call and say, what are you doing selling coffee in the church building? you know, you're selling chips and stuff over in the church building. I thought, well, you know, I understand how people get religious, you know? And that's what that is. It's this idea that this is not the temple. Well, and then they said, well, Jesus turned over the table of the money changers and kicked out the chairs and threw them out and got upset with people selling stuff in the church. I said, yeah, but where's the temple? And the tables of the money changers is what they counted on. And the spiritual significance to that is the things you count on other than Christ have to get out of your life. And then it says the chairs of the money of the doves. In other words, what you draw comfort from other than Christ, you need to get that out of your life. See, that's what that's talking about. And so we're the temple. We are. That's why if we put a sign on the door, no food or drink in the sanctuary, we'd all starve to death. Yeah, because we're the sanctuary. We're the people. The people's building the church. Do you love the church? The local church is the answer everyone is looking for. That's where you're going to discover who you are in Christ. That it's in the local church. You got to get rid of this idea, well, it's the Methodist, it's the Baptist, it's the Pentecostal. Get rid of that. It's where God's people are, and in the Word of God is going forth, and there's vision. That's where it is. That's where the people gather together, and that's the church. Assembled together, everyone doing their part, stirring up love and good works. Am I making sense? I get excited. You know why? Because I see it. And other people, they always have excuses. You see? And really, they're just trying to avoid what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in them. All right. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. 4 verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, the anointing. Remember? That's the anointing. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in what? In love. This is a picture of the body of Christ, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring. See, coming together, by which every joint supplies. You know what? We're the joints. We have what others need. We have the supply that others need. Everything you need to fulfill the plan and purpose of God is right here. And that's why we need each other. Well, I got laid off. Well, you know what? There's a job here for you. There's a connection. There's something to connect you, to get you to where you need to go. Now, but look what it says. Till we all come to the unity. And then there we are in our vision. A body of believers endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit. Now, why is unity so important? Unity is huge. And you know how you break unity? Words. Negative words. When you talk negative about your brother or sister, you bring division and you break unity. Let me tell you something. When you're going through something in life, that's when you need to really watch your words. On Wednesday night, we've been studying the tongue. And in James chapter 3, it says the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It's a very small part, but it guides that entire ship. If that ship, that rudder guides that ship directly into the waves, it will capsize and sink. You know what that's saying? You got to watch the words that are coming out of your mouth when you are in your worst storms. Because your tongue is guiding your life. When you are in your worst storm, you got to watch. Because the words that you say are either going to make, you're either going to sink or you're going to carry on and move on in life. It comes from your words. That's why you should never downgrade and knock somebody else down or gossip. Because God hates it. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says God hates discord. That's the opposite of unity. He hates it. It says he abhors it. That's off the chart of hate. That's worse than hate. I'm going to tell you, anything that God abhors and hates, you better run from it. Jesus died. Jesus died. The whole plan of the cross and Jesus coming was to reconcile, to bring us together. You see that? Not divide us, to bring us together and to bring us in relationship with him. Am I making sense? That's why God hates discord. Okay, go with me to Psalms 133 real quick. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, what? In unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the what? Life forevermore. You see, when we have unity, God gets involved and he commands life and blessing on the people. When you deem unity above your own agenda and your own opinion, that's when you have positioned yourself for the blessing of God in your life. That's why when you complain and murmur, it's all about you now. Or you have your own opinion and it doesn't line up with God, it didn't come. You know what? My opinion doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what God says. Unity. That's where the oil starts at the head, flows down through the beard, down to the edge of the robe. That's like it's going over through the whole body, the anointing. And so the idea is to keep that oil, the same concentration from the head down at the bottom of the robe. Same concentration, same purity. You see that? That's the picture that he's painting there. And see, when we get our own ideas and our own, it pollutes the oil. And it affects everyone who comes in the door. See, we want to be a people. We're concerned enough for the unity. We deem that when people come in, they get blessed. They see, boy, this is different here. These people are different. Because see, we're obeying what God's saying. And we're connecting. This is so big. That's why unity is in our vision. That's why you hear me say, if I'm out in the city or I'm out in the public and somebody says a negative word about any of you, I'm going to think up 10 good things to say about you. And I'm going to speak life, and they're not going to feel good about talking negative about you around me. Because I understand that God hates discord. See, a pastor that understands that, I just can't stand it. So we're going to hate what God hates, and especially anything that affects the unity. Unity of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit can't move outside of peace. He's bound to peace. Confusion, chaos, Holy Spirit's not in it. Strife, conflict, dissent, contentions, Holy Spirit's not in that. But you can obey the Holy Spirit in those circumstances because he's bound to peace. You can have peace in that. That's why we want to have that unity, because we want to make a place where the Holy Spirit can move in people's lives and really reveal things to them. Peace in the bond of peace. The word peace is the word eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E. It's the Greek word. It means wholeness. It means completeness. It means tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. That's why Jesus said, in me you'll have peace, in this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. It means the rule of order in place of chaos. That's what this word peace means. It means you can be calm with an inner stability that results in the ability to conduct yourself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be very nerve-wracking, traumatic, and upsetting. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. You can have that no matter where you are. When you are in touch with the Holy Spirit, you can have that peace. And see, that's what eliminates worry and anxiety. That's what gives you strength. That's what gives you joy. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy is a fruit of you having this peace. It's a supernatural peace. It's not based on outward circumstances. It's based on you and your relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God. Last verse. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58. Therefore, that means continuing on. Not a but it's therefore, right? therefore changes it. It's a continuum. If you want victory in your life, this is what it rests on. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, when we're doing what we're supposed to do and what we're called to do in the body of Christ, our work and labor is not in vain. But he says that you and I are to be steadfast. You be steadfast. This is what where victory comes from, you being steadfast. Steadfast is the Greek word E-D-R-A-I-O-S. This is what it means. Stationary, something that sits in one place for a long, long time. Something that is firm and steady. This term steadfast was always used in connection with foundations or support structures in buildings and was always in reference to pillars and columns. He wants you to be steadfast. He wants you to be a pillar, a column. What's a pillar and a column do? It holds up stuff. If you remove that pillar or that column, what happens? That's what God is building here. And he wants you to be steadfast. This word always meant, steadfast always meant reliable, dependable, not easily excited. He is calling on us to be reliable and not shaky. Because everything that's going to be shaken is going to be shaken. But if you're steadfast, you're in. You're there for a long, long time, right? This next word is immovable. It's very much like it. It's a Greek word, A-M-E-T-A-K-I-N-E-T-O-S. This word means something that is not changeable. It means frequently used in connection with stone structures or would refer to people who are known to have a strong, unbending character. A person, this is what it was referenced to, a person, building, or place that is constant, stable, enduring, and dependable. That's what we're trying to build here. A place that is constant, stable, and enduring for people to come in. And you being steadfast demonstrates your commitment to what God has called you to. You see, when you're bouncing all over the place, that shows your lack of commitment. See, that's what God, he wants us to be stable, steadfast, stand holding up the values and the principles and the promises of God for others. Because other God needs you. Don't say, well, God don't need me. He'll get somebody. God needs you. God needs you and people need you to depend on and lean on. That's what the body of Christ is. Tell you what, everything out there is falling. But the church is going to stand. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But now look, the enemy will try to use people's negative words, a lack of finances, adverse circumstances, discouragement, and a host of other tactics to move us off course from our intended goal. We must not allow ourselves to be inconsistent and wavering in our commitment to accomplish our God-given assignment. In this world where a lackadaisical, who cares attitude predominates, people need to see what true commitment looks like. And that gives them vision and they'll want to come in when they see you and I are committed and we're steadfast to hold up what God is saying in this last day.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.